Morning, everybody. Just turn your Bibles, book of Romans, chapter 8. A few things, public reading. One thing you notice, guys, when people start to turn away from God, man, it just descends into chaos, doesn't it? It's infighting, murder, okay? The country goes down, leadership goes down, all of that across the board. Now, I think we're all aware that the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ is king, nobody's going to dethrone him. Any staged revolutions against him are destined to fail. And there will be serious punishment for all those who would attempt such a thing. And Scripture talks about that. There's outer darkness reserved for a certain group of people. You can read the 2 Peter chapter 2 or the book of Jude if you want any more information about that. Pardon me?
Or Psalm 2.
Or Psalm 2, yes, thank you. Yeah, the kings of the earth, hey, they better do homage, right, before the sun, lest he become angry and they perish. So, anyways, we understand we're a part of the kingdom of God, but the influence we have on this world around us, we are the salt of the earth too, aren't we? And so we're the city that's set upon a hill. We're the light of the world. And so we should have an impact on those around us. And brethren, I just want to remind all of us, in the midst of the political climate in which we live, the only solution is to turn people back to the Lord. To really turn people back to the Lord. And any long-term positive impact you're going to have on your family, on your neighborhood, on your city, on your state, or on your country, it's going to be by turning people to the Lord. So that's where we want to direct our efforts and keep focused in that way. Really appreciative for the Assembly of the Saints. Man, I'll talk about Kevin's class hopefully in my message early on in that, but appreciative for Will, your reminder, man, it is easy. I sometimes call those mental gymnastics, but the Scripture is very clear about that. God does not want those ancient boundaries moved, does he? He says a couple different times in the book of Proverbs, do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set. And that comes from the law that was given. But how easy it is sometimes in our own life to push that back. And I appreciate, you know, the emphasis. We make a pledge on what we've given. Follow through on that. And I kind of say it sometimes to myself, don't let yourself off the hook, right? I mean, you did it. Follow through on that. And that's true of finances, guys. That's true of time. That's true of any commitments that we make before the Lord. You know, if you're going to commit to memorize Scripture, don't let yourself off the hook. Follow through. Prayer time. I mean, we know all the distractions and all the excuses that are readily available. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to move those. But I was really, really appreciative of that. And then Roger, Lord's Supper meditation, excellent too. Raj always gets me to think. And when he's talking about, you know, the way that we win, you know, God doesn't keep score the same way that man keeps score. And so the way you win this race is actually by helping others. Jesus is the perfect example of that. And so I had this little picture flash into my mind while Raj was talking. I don't know if it exactly right. I'm not much of a video game guy. Matter of fact, I'm not a video game guy at all. But I do remember like Mario and stuff like that. And when you get certain things, it's almost like superpowers, and all of a sudden you can go like really fast and nothing can touch you. And I was thinking, you know, when you go and you help that person that's gotten off track, and you're kind of, it's like you got that little superpower thing and you're going like extra fast, and so you're not losing any ground. You're getting ahead actually. And you're helping that person with you to be able to get ahead. And usually it seems to me when you're in that superpower stage, not only is it the speed at which you're going, but you're really whatever the enemy, you can tell I'm not much of a video game guy, but whatever the enemy things are that are against you, you're resistant to that as well. And so I just appreciate the thought, guys, from the Scriptures. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 today. Romans 8, verse 26 through 28. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Father, we do praise Your great, awesome, holy name. Lord, You are Yahweh, the great I Am, the eternal God, the One who is, the One who was, the One who is to come. Lord, You see everything. You are sovereign. Your will is being carried out. And Lord, even when things don't look like they're going well, even when it looks as if the camp of the saints is being surrounded, it looks as if we are up against an enemy and we are outmanned and outgunned, we don't have the same resources. Father, help us to be those who open our spiritual eyes, that we would see that there are more with us than against us. That see, we would see into the heavenly realm and see Your host led by Jesus Christ the King. And understand, Lord, that You do cause all things to work together for good to those who love You, to those who are called according to Your purpose. I ask that, Lord, that You be with me today as I preach Your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and that each of us would take great comfort, Lord, in knowing who You are, and our trust would grow even more, and that we would be focused more than ever on making sure that our purpose in our life matches up with Your purpose. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, the title of my message today is We Know That, and I want to get to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. There's some verses that come before that, and when we think about God wants us to know, but there's some things we don't know, and I'm going to just momentarily talk about those, but I want to start with God does want us to know. Brethren, I'm going to commend you. You know, sometimes I was thinking, just a little bit of feedback I've gotten recently. You know, I've been pushing pretty hard on some things. Let's just encourage a little here, right? I got to commend you guys as a congregation. You know, one of the sayings of the restoration movement is the Bible only makes Christians only. And one of a tremendous emphasis that was placed by those who really said, let's get rid of denominationalism. Let's go back to God's way of doing things. But the emphasis, there's tremendous emphasis placed on what does the Bible say? The only way you're going to do what God wants is to know what He wants. And so tremendous emphasis on knowing the Word of God. And so the Church of Christ in general has been widely known, even among other religious outfits, there's people of the book. And I commend you guys for knowing what the Scripture says, for your personal commitment to understanding the Scriptures. I don't, you know, sometimes I know that I hammer away at this. Your Bible reading plan. Have something. You don't have a plan, my guess is you won't get much done. You figure out your own plan. There's nothing in the Scripture that says this is the way to do it. But we want to be... The Scripture does talk about daily renewal, doesn't it? We want to be in the Word. We want to have a systematic means of going through the Scriptures where we know every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18 for a second. There's a... In we want to be careful. I'm not preaching on this today. I'll just mention that book of 1 Corinthians does warn us about knowledge by itself. Hey, knowledge makes arrogant. Love edifies. So we always want to make sure that any knowledge that we have is motivated by our love. Okay? But that being said, there are a lot of people that will use that verse and pull it out of context, and that's an excuse for ignorance. Okay? And they don't want you to know your Bible very well, because if you don't know your Bible very well, you're a sitting duck for the devil. You're easily misled. So we want to know, and Proverbs, there's a couple themes that run through the book of Proverbs, but one of them is, hey, guys, make sure you know. Okay? Make sure you know. Proverbs 18, verse 15, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. We're prudent. Hey, we're wise. We're children of God who want to be good stewards of that which He's given. Hey, we seek out knowledge. We want to hear. We want to know. Opportunities all over to know. Ultimately, you know, you got to get in the book yourself. I would say that one of the primary purposes of the assembly of the saints is to, you know, as we equip the saints for the work of service, it's really to lay upon you the importance of your personal relationship with the Lord that you're going to get only by spending time with Him in His Word. Nobody else can do that for you, guys. God's not interested in setting up a codependent atmosphere. Okay? All of us are going to have to do this at some point. I don't know. We want to help each other, though. Like Roger was talking, we want to help each other. So we want to get into the book. And I just want to encourage you guys. Hey, if you're not reading your Bible, get reading it. You're not praying? Get on it. I'm encouraging today, right? So, but, you know, guys, I'm appreciative. I'm really appreciative for this congregation. You know, Kevin Simpson, the stuff that he had today, you know, he said it was a little dry in class, and he was having trouble talking a little bit this morning, a couple things, and, man, I gotta tell you, this guy impresses me. He knows that Old Testament scripture. He was disappointed with himself for getting 1 Chronicles 6 instead of 1 Chronicles 16. Hey, you ever looked at the size of that Old Testament? Hey, I'm going to give him a pass on that one. Hey, but there is opportunity to know. He said, yeah, some of the stuff's a little dry. I found it really interesting this morning. Hey, great examples of seeing some things in that Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament and then Christ. And what he did and that foreshadow and then some of the application. I find that stuff interesting. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe some of it's over your head. But I want to encourage you. If you come with the right attitude, I think you'll get something out of it. I'm appreciative for our other Sunday school teachers. For you ladies who work hard at making sure you know what the Scripture says. And then you're starting to lay that foundation with your own children. And then, you know, some of the other children in the assembly of the saints as we work together to lay in that and make sure that what you're teaching is sound and from the Scriptures. Man, that is important. You look at what Paul says to Timothy. And Paul credits Timothy a lot of his faith. He credits back to Timothy's mom and his grandma. Don't ever underestimate the importance. Brother, we're blessed in this congregation to have solid teachers and everything from our children all the way up through. God does want us to know. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that being said, you know, there's some things we're never going to know. God has set up that way. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I got the wrong verse here. I want Deuteronomy chapter 29. Same, Mr. Simpson? Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. That's what I want. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. There's a natural tendency of humans sometimes to pursue the things that we can't know instead of pursuing the things that we should know, that we're supposed to know. I find it interesting some of the Bible questions sometimes that people come up with. You know, well, what about aliens? Is there any chance of... We had a whole book of the revelation of God that doesn't say one word about aliens. Hey? Mr. Simpson. Strangers and aliens. I'm not talking about foreigners in a strange land. I'm talking about extraterrestrial creatures. Let's put it that way. Okay? Phone home. But, you know, the reality of it is we have all of this information, and people want to go to where the stuff that the Bible doesn't talk about. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. You know, there are things the Scripture even says He doesn't want to be dabbling in. He doesn't want you messing around with spiritualism. He doesn't want you trying to call up those from the dead. He doesn't want you having these seances. He doesn't want you playing games with like the Ouija board. I don't know if that's still out there. Charlie, I think, was something a few years back. It's pretty big. You know, what is that? Satan's allure to get you into a pursuit of stuff you are never going to know answers to. God doesn't want you to. Actually, the Scripture praises Christians who haven't known the deep things of Satan. So there are things we're supposed to know. The things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. That's where we want to spend our time. Guys, getting to know this, to know God's thoughts, to know what He wants from us in our lives. And so, let's stick with those things. Okay? Some things we don't know. We don't know what we shall be. I like to think about heaven. I like to think about what that body of glory is going to be. But 1 John chapter 3 is really clear. Brother, it's not appeared as yet what we shall be. We don't know that. But we do know that when He appears, we'll be like Him. Because we'll see Him just as He is. You know, the contest leading up to what we read this morning in Romans chapter 8 is the fact that, you know, we're saved in hope, the redemption of the body. What does that look like? And there's a whole section there at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 if you want to engage with the Apostle Paul a little thinking along those lines. But you're not going to walk out of that saying, oh, I totally get it. That's a spiritual body. How do you communicate a spiritual body in physical words? It's really difficult to do. All right. We don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return, do we? I had a Bible study recently with somebody, and they were, you know, it's a legitimate question. They had asked about the second star of Bethlehem. Anybody hear anything about the second star of Bethlehem? Wow, I like you guys. I hadn't either. But I went and looked it up, and hey, it was a big deal a little over a year ago, and stuff on YouTube, and all this explanation, the second star of Bethlehem, the way everything lined out, and it must have been a year and a half or 2 years ago, it was a big deal. And Christ's return was supposed, according to this thing and all the calculations, was supposed to be sometime in 2015. Whoops. Hey, guy, that stuff is empty pursuits, isn't it? So some of those things we don't know and we're not going to know. Hey, Revelation chapter 10. You know, it's interesting. The book of Revelation is an opening, isn't it? You ever notice like the book of Daniel? Close up. Seal up. There's a lot of things in that Old Testament that God's saying, this is not going to be understood until later times. But the book of Revelation it's a revealing, it's an opening, it's a making known. But there's even one spot in Revelation that says, seal that up. Conclusion I come to is there are some things, guys, we are not going to get to know while we're here. But personally, I'm still working on this. I got plenty in front of me to know, to get down, and it's fun. Go back to me to Romans 8. The direct context, what he's talking about here, what we don't know. get your mind going this way. In verse 26, we do not know. We don't know how to pray as we should. Brian, we don't always know exactly even what to pray for, do we? There are situations that arise, that come up. Honestly, sometimes I have no idea. I have no idea how to pray. Right now, there's a gal, Marcia Jacobs from Bozeman, has been Bible studying with this lady. Well, she's had a relationship with this lady for years and years and years, and talked Bible with her for years and years and years. And this lady had a spot in her life, just from her past life and stuff she's done and stuff have been done to her. She just immediately, you start talking about forgiveness, I could never be forgiven for all the stuff that I've done. Well, somewhere the last week or two, Marcia was able to get through, and this lady's eyes actually lit up about she could be forgiven. Well, this lady's literally on her deathbed. I mean, medical thing, she's died a couple times in the last couple weeks. Well, she's here right now at the advanced care. They're trying to get her. She wants to be immersed into Christ. I went in there and visited her a couple times this weekend with Marcia and just talked to her and asked her some questions. I wanted to see where she was really at and see, you know, she's got a trach in, so she can't, and she's not able to speak, but she can mouth words. And yes, she cares, she understands she can be forgiven. Yes, she wants to be immersed into Christ. Because I'm praying hard for that. I'd ask you to as well. Her name's Vicky. She goes by Vicky. So you can pray for her. Pray that the Lord can pull her through to where she's a position of stability and physical health, while where the medical people will give her clearance to actually be immersed into Christ. She wants to. I'm going to pray for something very direct there. I also know, though, in all of that, the Lord knows more than I do, doesn't He? Even in that instance where, to me, it's very clear what I'm going to pray for, I also know God knows that lady's heart. All I can get is to ask her questions, and I can get her understanding. I can get her responses. God knows her heart. And certainly He's the only one that can bring her through this physically if He chooses to do so. God knows. There are other things, though, I don't even know where to start. You know, in all honesty, with Clint and his family, I just pray for their family and pray for wisdom and pray that God will pull them through, because I don't know what to pray for. There are times people in their lives, we're talking about just physical stuff here, there are times people going through emotional stuff in their life. And how do you pray for that? Sometimes I don't even know how to pray for my own stuff going on inside, but the Lord knows. I'm going to lay it before Him. And sometimes that's what I say, Lord, You know. You know. Carry this out in accordance with Your will. There's one thing that we can be certain of as we continue to build through this. We know God caused all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And so, when we're praying, sometimes we run into those roadblocks, and sometimes maybe we quit praying because of that. God doesn't want us to. He reminds us, hey, we have a helper. The Holy Spirit is here. He's our helper. In a number of ways He helps us. One way He helps us is in our prayers. He intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. You know, Romans chapter 8 is interesting. This whole chapter, it really communicates a number of important things about the Holy Spirit. Really, the first part of Romans 8 talks about life is available only through the Spirit. No Spirit, no life. He helps us to overcome sin. He helps us to overcome ourselves so that we can have the life inside that God wants us to have. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Let me put it this way. Maybe if I rephrase this. I know, guys, it's a little slim today, and I can tell by looking at everybody, everybody's a little tired. The eyes are... Let's put it this way. Aren't you thankful for the Spirit of holiness? Can you be holy without the help of the Spirit of holiness? Thankful. Romans 8, the first part, talks about that. We need that help. The Spirit is great in our lives. How about the Spirit, the guarantee of our future glory? Have you ever been in a situation, you show up, you have things lined up, you get there, and whatever the scenario is, maybe it's a business thing and you're purchasing something, you go there, you had all lined up, and you get there and they have no record of you. It's like, what? No, we can't find anything on this. You're like, I know, I talked to somebody. I know, we talked to... Nope, sorry, got nothing. You guys ever, anybody ever had that happen in your life? Okay. Hey guys, on the day of judgment, that isn't going to happen to you. If you have the Spirit of God, God is going to recognize you. You're not going to mistake that. You're not going to, oh, accidentally you got stuck in the wrong group, sorry. I know eternity is long, but too bad. No, the Lord knows. He gives us the Spirit, the guarantee, doesn't He? Of our future glory. And so, you know, in this longing, we're not alone. The Spirit intercedes for groanings too deep for words. This is the context, actually, leading up to this. We ourselves groan, right? For this. Sometimes we can't even put that into the right words. But God understands. The Spirit Himself is interceding for us. You know, last time I was preaching through the book of Romans, and or through this section anyways, I remember, God is not just a God of logic and of reason. As God also is a God of... When He made us in His image, according to His likeness, He made us with emotions. Emotions are real. Emotions can't govern our lives, but emotions are real. It's part of being made in the image of God. And so God Himself has emotions, and you see that here. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with these groanings too deep for words. God cares. God does love. God does hear the cries of His people, doesn't He? God cares. Jesus, when He was here, God in the flesh, Jesus wept. He communicating emotions. Jesus got angry, didn't He? It was righteous anger. But Jesus got angry. Zeal for His Father's house consumed Him. We see these emotions play out. And Jesus got a little disappointed with people. I don't know if frustration would be the right word, but you know, sometimes He sighs deeply. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you, right? Oh, you men of little faith. God has emotions. They're real. Psalm chapter 2 that Mr. Simpson helped out with from the second row up here this morning. Hey, you read that. God has emotions. He cares. The example that I had given before was one day I was shaving in Talia. A little younger at the time, but she likes to watch me shave. Sometimes I take over the girls' bathroom, is the reality of it. I move my stuff up into theirs, and, you know, tired of dealing with the boys in their bathroom, so girls are a little nicer, a little cleaner, actually. And I'm up there shaving away, and, you know, Talia looks, and she's like, Dad, do you have sensitive skin? You know, there is stuff for sensitive skin, right? I'm like, I don't have sense. She's like, but you're sensitive though. And I was like, she's like, you and Elena are the sensitive ones of the family. Like, That's true. Okay? We are. And it's okay to be sensitive. God has emotions, guys. What we can't do is let those emotions run our lives. Okay? So, Elena, I'm glad you're around. All right, but God, we're in this. The Holy Spirit understands, is what I'm saying. Wherever we're at, whatever our emotions are, we're pouring out to the Lord, and we can't put it into words. And sometimes we can't even understand ourselves. God understands. The Spirit Himself, He intercedes with groanings too deep for words. God does care. You know, I think that's a question sometimes. Well, would God care about this little thing in my life? I don't know that God would care about the details for the sake of the detail, but God cares about you. And God cares about that impact on you in your spiritual life. He knows. And so that brings us to Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Guys, this is one of those verses that's an anchor in my life that I come back to. I have a number of those in my life. This is one of them. We know God causes all things to work together for good. In the moment, sometimes I'm a little... My first response sometimes is still needs a little work. My first response, stuff doesn't go the way that I anticipated it. Stuff doesn't go the way I lined it out. Stuff doesn't go according to my plans and according to my time frame and according... And it's like, oh, come... And it's like, no, wait a second. Wait a second. Does God know? Does God care? For us as Christians, is this fair to say that before we were ever born, that God, He knows the days of our lives. He knew the day we were going to be born. He knows our departure date. That's scriptural, by the way. You can find it there in the book of Psalms. God knows. God is sovereign. God cares. And sometimes, I have to think about it this way. I don't know because we're stuck right here in this second. And I can't see any further ahead. Matter of fact, sometimes even the getting yesterday right is a little foggy for me. That's one thing I will give. I'll give ladies, man. I'll give my wife. Man, she can bring up details that I like. Okay, I got to trust you on that because I can't remember stuff that well. But you know what? God knows. He's got that whole thing and He knows how it's going tomorrow. And so sometimes the way I think about stuff is when something doesn't go according to my plan, hey, how do you... Matter of fact, there was something I saw recently. Jeremiah Hostetter in Cameroon, he was... I forget the exact details. I don't know if his plane got canceled or something. And so he went back to the train and was going to try to get this ticket on the train to get back home. And it had sold out. Just not one more seat on that train. And so he didn't get to do it. And I don't remember but instead of a short trip, it was going to be this really long trip. That train, guys, the train wrecked. I don't remember what the final count was on it, of how many people died. There's a lot of people died. Do you think it's possible that God made sure that that thing was sold out because God didn't want Jeremiah on that train? Hey, the little things in our life sometimes, when the source of your frustration in the moment can be the very thing that actually is allowing you to live the next day to carry on God's will. And so, let's rearrange our attitude. That's what Romans 8:28 does for me, is it allows me to get my attitude right. God knows. He's sovereign. This is the same God who did not spare His own Son. He delivered Him up for us. God knows what we need. And sometimes God even knows that you need work on your attitude. So maybe it didn't save you from anything other than it's saving your soul by helping you learn to have a good attitude in bad circumstances. To me, guys, He is absolutely amazing. This is what I can't figure out, and it just makes my mind in total awe. I think about when the guys were doing this construction on this new part of the church building, and they had a plan, and they laid it out, and you know, particularly Pat and Josh, as they were taking lead on that stuff, and they figured things out, and they had guys come out and help them on certain things, and to get guys to, you know, do what needed done, and that takes a lot. But one thing about it is, when you know where you're trying to go, and you get your materials list, and you got the materials, those materials are inanimate. You can cut them the way you want them, you can, you know, get them the size you want, you can go, you plug it in. Guys, God is working on this huge temple of living stones. And God is having this temple turn out to be this amazing, beautiful dwelling place for Him and for us. And He is using people as His building materials, and we are people who have free will. I don't know how He pulls this off, but He does. God is able to take us. Even, I had a conversation really recently, and I can't go into the details, but there's a dear brother of mine in Christ, and just had to find out some stuff. Hey, okay, what's really going on here? And we had a conversation, and there were some things that he, a little mistake that he had made, and he took responsibility for it in the right ways. Just going to leave it at that. But it's amazing things he was telling me about this, that through this mistake that he made, and it was wrong, but through this mistake that he made, how it actually opened up a door that he got some information. And again, I want to be careful the way I explain this because it's coming out not quite right. Anyways, God took even a mistake that this guy made and he caused it to work out for good. And I think when you look at the book of Romans, you're going to see this. We would never, don't misunderstand me. This was way earlier in this book. We would never say, let us do evil that good may come. Anybody who says that, their condemnation is just. But our sovereign God is able to take even our mistakes that we make, and He's able to, if we love Him, and if we are called according to His purpose, to cause those to turn out ultimately for His glory. Now, He'll do that for non-Christians too. It's called Pharaoh. We'll get to that in Romans 9. You don't want to be on that side of it. But God, what an amazing God. So guys, I want to encourage you. Whatever it is, whether you understand what's going on around you or you don't. You understand what's going on in your family or you don't. I hope you try to figure that one out. But you understand what's going on inside your own head or you don't. That'd be good to try to figure out too. But if you do, if you love God, you make sure you love God. And you make sure you're called according to His purpose. You set aside, Luke Wilson, you set aside your wills and your desires. You make sure that what you care about, Luke, is God's will and God's desires. You love God. You make sure you're going to make it to heaven and you're going to try to help other people make it to heaven like Roger was talking about. God's going to work out those details, guys. We know. You can have absolute confidence in that God's able. He's able to make all things, to cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Aren't you glad that you can have absolute trust in somebody like that? Honestly, there's nobody else. I trust Julie 100%. But you know one thing, Julie, I can't trust her in? That she can make circumstances work out great. Because she's in the same, stuck in the same time and space spot that I am. There's no person in the world that you can trust is going to be able to make something work out. Nobody can do that. God can. Guys, we've read the back of the book, haven't we? God's sovereign. Even the things that go on that look bad politically and otherwise, the camp of the saints is surrounded. Man, we know. We know. We know that God works this out. And I want to remind you of one thing. God rules this world. And He rules this world in the interests of His church. God cares about His people. God cares that His people, in the end, that we are lifted up, the whole world, to see those who are His. So I want to encourage you. You make sure you love God. Keep loving God. Teach your kids to love God. And make sure you're called according to His purpose, no matter what. My will, not my will. My will put to the side. But Lord, Your will be done. We have that attitude, you don't have to worry about circumstances. God's going to make them all work out perfectly for him. Oh, and what's best for you too. We just don't always know that, what's best in the moment. But it will work out best for his kingdom and for you personally. I'm thankful, guys. What an awesome God that we get to call our Father. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you. We thank you so much that you're our God. We're just so appreciative, Lord, for the communication of yourself to us through your word. We're really thankful, Lord, even from the Old Testament and from the history of the early church that we see is revealed in the scriptures. The particular ways, Lord, in which you intervened. The particular ways in which when things looked like there was no hope, that you brought about these great victories. I'm mindful of the cross, that from all external perspectives, all worldly views of this, there was nothing good about it. And yet you caused it, Lord, for the greatest good ever. And so, Lord, we take courage in that. We know in the world we're going to have tribulation, but we take courage because you have overcome this world. We take courage because you, Lord, are sovereign. You are Lord of all. And your will is going to be carried out. And so, Lord, I'm just thankful that you've given the opportunity for us to be in your family, a part of your army, carrying out your purpose in this life. Lord, we don't know always what the results are. We can't know what those results are going to be. We know that today we need to be faithful and do what you ask us to do. And you do bring about great victory through that. Lord, may you be glorified. May your name be exalted. As we do this, we put our trust in you completely. May the world around us see that there is a God who really is alive in spiritual Israel today. Lord, may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.